This weekend is the fifth Sunday of Easter in Year A. The readings for this weekend's Mass are from Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7. The responsorial psalm is from Psalm 32. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. And the second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. And the gospel for this weekend is a very famous and often used gospel from John 14, verses 1 to 12. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And Jesus goes on to say, I am the way, the truth and the life. This weekend also, at least here in Canberra, we are very pleased at last to be able to unlock our churches as of midnight on Friday night. Whilst we can only have 10 people maximum in the church at one time, it is wonderful to have our churches opened and people can come back into that sacred space, particularly in our church where we have the small chapel that is open all daylight hours, as is the body of the church, but the intimacy of that small chapel will be much appreciated, I know. So I look forward very much to seeing some of the parish faces just quietly dropping in. We have all the sanitation requirements at the entrances to the church, but please know that the church is unlocked now for you to come in and re-establish that spiritual relationship on this sacred ground. Now, the readings this weekend, particularly the gospel. The gospel is, as I said in my introduction, one which we very often hear these days. We particularly hear it at funerals, where it is used as a way of giving hope and trust to the mourners. Jesus is saying in part of what is known as his farewell discourse in John's Gospel from chapter 14, he's saying to the disciples, as he says to us now, hey, don't get upset, don't let your hearts be troubled, just trust in God. And that must have seemed a little bit sort of challenging for the disciples to trust in God, because the disciples had not even understood what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus goes on fairly plainly to say, listen, just trust me, I'm going now to prepare a place for you. And I'll come back and I'll take you with me so that where I am, you may be too. So it's not an invitation, it's a promise. And the trust that I'm referring to is a trust that that promise will be fulfilled. Remembering that this gospel, John the Evangelist's Gospel, was written very late in the second half of the first century. And most of the people who were followers of Jesus by that stage had already started to suffer persecution. Interestingly, some of you may find that our heritage has covered over the name of the early followers of Christ. They were not called Christian until quite late. Quite late in the end, towards the end of the first century. However, they were called a sect because they were mainly Jewish converts and they were still using, not so much at the time of John's Gospel, but the followers were still using the synagogue as their place of worship. And so they were a sect. They were known as the Nazarenes because Jesus was from Nazareth, and that became a kind of a nickname, in a sense, for the followers of Jesus Christ. Christians came quite a bit later, first called it in Antioch. But before then, the followers of Jesus were commonly known as the Way. And that term probably comes from the words that Jesus uses in today's gospel. Thomas, it was the disciple who said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus replies, I am the way. And then he goes on to say, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that promise of being with the Father, that promise of coming to our Father's house where there are many rooms, that has a condition on it. It's not just going to happen. It will happen to those who follow the way, who live the truth to receive eternal life. That's important to remember, because it's not just some historical event that Jesus is referring to. He is referring to the ongoing event of our lives, and to St. John's community at first, but to our lives here and now. We are, like those early followers of Christ, we are to follow in the way of Christ. It must have been frustrating for Jesus, because he's got Thomas there saying, oh, look, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? These chaps spent 3 years with Jesus and still they just didn't understand what he was getting at. It must have been frustrating. And then for Philip, as you'll hear in today's gospel as well, Philip pipes up and he said, Lord, let us see the Father, so then we shall be satisfied. So Philip is saying, if we could just see God's face or see him, then we know that what you're saying, this promise of what you're offering us, we know that it's fair dinkum, that it's true. Jesus must have just shaken his head, because he says, in a kind of little bit of an awry way, he says, oh, Philip, look, I've been with you all this time and still you don't know me. And then he explains that to have seen Jesus is to have seen the Father. So it's in this first lot of language in John's Gospel that we're really starting to get the understanding of what we call a triune God, or our Trinity. The reference from Jesus to his Father, and then in the beginning of the next chapter, Jesus makes another promise, I'm going to send you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, comes in chapter 15. So these promises of Jesus are a revealing of who the Father is. Though, like Moses and like Elijah, we don't get to see the face of God the Father. We get to experience God, who God is, not a transcendent form, but we get to see who God is in the person of Jesus, in his humanity. We get to see who God is and the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by following in Jesus the way, by listening to and speaking the truth, and by living the life that we were asked to live, which echoes and follows in the shadows or the footsteps of Jesus himself, so that all who see us, who listen to us, and look to the way that we live our life, they see God. They see God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That happens because of our relationship with Jesus. And that's why the first followers of Jesus were known as the Way, because people observed, particularly those who were not followers of the Way yet, they observed that these people lived their life in a way which was different. They used money differently. They used it to care for those that had nothing. They used their housing differently to give shelter to the homeless. They used their respect and the treatment of others, particularly slaves and the downtrodden, emphasized many times through the example of widows and children and orphans, that they looked after these people differently. They lived their life in a different way. For us, in this Easter tide, coming through this pandemic, we're doing okay. We're doing fine, I think. Though we all get a little impatient, but this has been the time for us to examine how we are living our life. Are we reflecting the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Are we reflecting our relationship with God in Jesus? Do people ever see us living the way, speaking the truth, challenging what is not true, and living the life that brings peace and harmony and a genuine love into the world? Or are we an observer like those who were outside the early church, looking at some people who try to follow Jesus and say, they are living the way, but I'm not. I need to do this in my life so that I become an authentic Christian. And along with authenticity, I think, is also being honest, being genuine, being true to self, and being true to our baptism promises, being true to what we want in our relationship with God. And that relationship with God is not about just God and me. It is about God, me, and the rest of the world. And as we come through this pandemic, I really want to make sure that in my life that I have started to fine-tune and make stronger and more powerful the way in which I follow Jesus, the way in which I speak the truth and stand up for truth, and the way in which I live my life, so that others might see in us a light in a world which is so often darkened. This weekend, this Mother's Day weekend, I hope that the light of Christ burns very brightly in your mothers' hearts. I pray for the deceased mums of our parish particularly, and I encourage all of you, as you try to gather in whichever way you can, to make sure that those who don't understand what you experience in your life with Jesus, that they can see reflected in you the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. God bless you and those whom you love.